Hi there, this is Brianna, and today I want to chat about hair products and how they may be affecting your skin. So many of my clients come to me with concerns about breakouts not only on their face, but on their jawlines, their neck, their back, their chest, their shoulders, sometimes the backs of the arms and the backs of the legs. And while there are a lot of factors that can create these sorts of things, a lot of times they are internal, a lot of times they're not drinking enough water, sometimes it's hormonal, sometimes it's stress related. Very often we find that the products that somebody is using on their skin and the products that somebody is using in the shower on their body and on their hair can actually be contributing to these sorts of problems and breakouts. And a lot of these people don't like that they're breaking out. And body breakouts can be stubborn and take a really long time to heal. So if you are wondering if any of the ingredients you're using in your hair products are contributing to clogging in your skin or breakouts on your face and body, stay tuned because I'm going to break down some of the things that I see when it comes to problematic ingredients in these types of products and how to eliminate them from your hair care regimen in order to make sure that your skin stays clear and healthy and you don't have any issues with breakouts or rashes or irritation that are at least ingredient induced. So if you don't know who I am, I'm Brianna Thomas. I am a licensed esthetician and professional makeup artist. I've been working with skin for almost 15 years. I'm based in Phoenix, Arizona. I have, for the last about 8 years, owned a boutique skincare practice where I focus on working with individuals who are struggling with chronic skin conditions, highly problematic. Typically, they're worried about acne, long-standing clogging. They're also concerned with the aging process, typically at the same time as these breakouts. Sometimes sun damage as well. Many of these individuals are very, very busy. They would like to have a more natural approach. They're just not quite sure where to start. So I come in and I have a very holistic, well-rounded approach to making sure that we are not only appearing the way we want to be appearing by clearing up the acne and slowing down the aging process, but ultimately that we're feeling the way we want to be feeling. Because truly, healthy skin starts from within. And I'm also kind of a nerd when it comes to ingredients. I read chemistry journals, dermatology journals, ingredient dictionaries, and I've been doing this for decades. And so when it comes to the ingredients that somebody is putting on their skin or in their hair products, I can take a look at a bottle and pinpoint very quickly what can be contributing to someone's problematic skin. So even though breakouts on the face or the body typically have an internal cause, usually someone's not drinking enough water, they may not be eating or eliminating appropriately, sometimes it's a hormonal thing or a stress thing, but I do like to be a little detective and look at the hair products and the body products that a person is using. And more often than not, if someone's experiencing chronic breakouts on the neck, shoulders, back, chest, body, they are also using ingredients in their hair care products that aren't necessarily the best for their skin. And when they rinse their hair, it rinses down their body, and a lot of times these ingredients can contribute to problems in their skin. And once we get them off of these pore clogging and skin irritating ingredients, things tend to clear up quite nicely. So I want to chat a little bit about what I have seen as potentially problematic ingredients in hair care. And I want you to know that this isn't across the board. Everyone who ever uses any of these ingredients is going to break out. Plenty of people don't break out at all. Plenty of people don't even wash their face and don't break out. It's not fair, but it totally happens and it's kind of an anomaly. But some people's skin reacts stronger to all sorts of lifestyle factors, and sometimes acne is a problem for certain individuals rather than others. So if you are struggling, or someone you know and love is struggling with problematic breakouts that seem really resistant to change, I want to share some of this insight with you. I want you to go and check your shampoo and your conditioner bottles and see if potentially these ingredients are in there and could be possibly contributing to your body breakouts. So before I get into ingredients, I want to give you one of my top tips for clearing up problematic body breakouts if it's coming from your hair products, and it is just to change how you shower. So many people, mostly women, I work with mostly women, and a lot of us have longer hair, and we typically have a very similar way we shower. We get in the shower, we usually wash our face, then we wash our hair, we put in our conditioner, then we wash our body, shave our body, then we rinse our hair. We usually do that because we want our conditioner sitting on our hair and kind of giving us a deeper treatment as we go about the rest of our business. And the last step, typically being rinsing out the conditioner, means that more often than not, that conditioner residue is just going to rinse down your body, down the drain, and then it's going to be sitting on your body all day until you shower again. And so if little bumps and breakouts or clogging on your body skin is a problem for you, reverse the order, or at least make sure you wash your face and your body again after you've rinsed your conditioner off, to make sure you've got all the conditioner residue off of yourself. So give that a try. It'll help no matter what product you're using. But if you're highly sensitive and highly breakout prone, it's a good idea to start eliminating breakout causing ingredients. And so I want to talk about some hair products that I have. I actually, I tend to keep almost everything. I've been researching products for ages. I want to practically say my whole life, because I was constantly as a kid experimenting with skin masks in the kitchen. And I can remember being, 12, 13 years old, browsing the health food store aisles, looking at face masks and cleansers and reading ingredient labels. It's always fascinated me. And I would spend my allowance money on like really high-end organic natural skincare when I was very, very young. And it was kind of odd and not something my friends did, but I loved it. So I've always been really fascinated by ingredients. I've always wanted to take a more natural approach. However, when I was younger, I found that most natural products didn't work all that well, especially for hair. I have really long curly hair, and my hair has been a challenge most of my life. It did a lot of flip-flopping when I was younger. It was thick and fluffy and kind of blonde, not really curly, a little bit wavy when I was a kid. Then hormones hit during puberty and it turned dark brown, super kinky curly. And I had this kind of mix of both as the process of hormones was shifting and my hair was changing and everything was kind of growing in. So that looked a little funky. So I went from having straight-ish hair or kind of wavy hair without much of a curl to now really dark, super curly hair, not having a clue what to use. Then I started coloring my hair when I was in my teens, and that a few real botched jobs there really damaged my curls. So then it was kind of stringy hair. And so I was not only fascinated with skincare ingredients, but on a mission to find hair care products that made my hair look presentable. And it really wasn't. It took me well over a decade to find things that I felt worked really, really, really well, that made my hair look like I wanted. And it wasn't until I felt like I was in my 30s that I was consistently feeling not so stressed about my hair. Found the right haircuts, found the right hair products, and I finally learned how to manage it. So hair products, even though I work with skin, and even though that's my focus, hair has always been a big deal to me. I get asked more about my hair than anything else when I do my hair. I get asked more about it than anything when I go out in public. And so I've learned a lot about hair. I've learned a lot about ingredients. I've learned a lot about what doesn't work. And so in addition to having kind of challenging hair for most of my life, I've also had highly challenging skin that's prone to rashes and prone to breakouts. And so not only was I looking for solutions for my clients when it came to making sure hair products weren't messing with their skin, I was looking for help for myself. I was doing a lot of this research for me because I didn't want to have the acne and the rashes that I was getting either. And so a lot of the info that I'm telling you has helped me as well. It's been a lot of trial and error, and a lot of playing my own detective, but I can tell you without a doubt that the use of certain ingredients can almost guarantee breakouts in myself or my clients, and probably you as well. So I have saved so many bottles of so many things because I'm a constant researcher, and I go back to formulas that I've bought, and I look at them and I say, okay, what did they do here? How did they make it this texture? How did they make it this consistency? What ingredients did they use that were awesome, and which ones did they use that were bad? And so I hang on to these as I work on my own skincare and makeup line and my cosmetics products, because I like to see, you know, what other people have done that I don't like to make sure that I don't do that as well. So I pulled out, before I started recording this, I pulled out a box of old hair products that didn't work for me. Well, they made my hair look nice, but they made me break out every time I used them. So typically water is the first ingredient. Aqua or agua will be how it looks on your ingredient label if you're looking at your bottles as you listen to this. But another thing in most conditioners is paraffinum liquidium, or paraffin, which is also very much like paraffin wax, like birthday candle wax or mineral oil. This is so highly clogging, and I don't believe it belongs on anyone's skin. So when I'm working with people to help clear up their skin, mineral oil is one of the first ingredients that has to go. If they're using products that contain mineral oil and they're experiencing clogging or breakouts, they gotta get rid of them. They don't help. They don't help matters, and they're highly, highly clogging the skin. Another ingredient that I see a lot in conditioners or shampoos is fragrance. Fragrance is so interesting. I do not believe in the use of synthetic fragrance in products because it can be this mishmash of thousands of different chemicals, and you can just put fragrance on the bottle and you don't have to list any of the other properties, and often they're very irritating and often they're very clogging. So I like using essential oils. I'm a big fan of that. I love to use botanical extracts, blueberry extract, lavender. I love these sorts of things because they contribute to a really nice scent. And a better, more desirable product use experience, but they're not creating irritation. So this is something that I want you to look for. And if any of your products have fragrance, you know, be aware that this can be creating irritation in your skin, rashes in your skin, or breakouts. And if any of the products that you're using on your skin that stay on your skin during the day, like your moisturizer, or even just regular perfume, and you go out into the sun, they stay on your skin and you go out into the sun, fragrance can interact with UV rays and it can create this chemical reaction in the skin that can lead to discoloration. So I have another podcast, it was one of my first episodes, about fragrance and how it can end up staining the skin over time. And it shows up in these red patchy discoloration that it's really tricky to get rid of if it ever goes away, because that type of sun damage that's exacerbated by the use of fragrance on the skin can typically change the texture of the skin as well, and that's really tricky to change. So fragrance is something, it's usually listed at the very end of a product label, but usually I say it's got to go as well. Then synthetic dyes. Synthetic dyes will be typically listed at the end of a label. And then, just so you know, not all color is bad. Some mineral pigments are really, really beautiful, but they're not synthetic chemicals that are going to be clogging. I like to use manganese violet. I like to use blue-green algae. I like to use things that are natural to color things that aren't going to clog. But you'll see coloring listed as typically lake and then a color name or FD&C. And then a color name like FD&C blue or FD&C red. These dyes I find can be irritating. And then even if you get your hair colored, I found personally when I've had shades of red, I know that those shades of red are synthetic, and most, you know, hair dye is synthetic. I'm still going to color my hair. That's one thing I've decided. I'm going to keep coloring my hair. So when I wash, when I shower, and I have those first few shampoos after I've had any bit of hair color, but especially any bits of red put in my hair, I make sure I thoroughly, thoroughly wash my face, neck, and body afterwards, because that residue in the past has actually created big breakouts on me because of just how intensely irritating and clogging red dye can be. So be aware of that as well. So another thing I forgot to mention back with fragrance is it can also be called parfum or perfume, but it'll show up as fragrance or parfum. And the mineral oil, paraffinum liquidium, these are things, definitely try and stay away from them. Now, I know there's a lot of people talking about not wanting to use sulfates in shampoo or parabens in products. And so a lot of cosmetics companies hop on to the, oh, we're natural because we don't use parabens, or we're good for you because we don't use sulfates. And I want to say that And not just skincare or hair care or makeup, all of it. There's so many claims that are made. And so people can buy a bottle and it's all like botanical looking and there's flowers or leaves on it, or the marketing is such that it makes it seem super natural and good for you. Or, you know, it'll say no synthetic dyes, but it'll be full of chemicals. Or it'll say no parabens, but it's, you know, full of mineral oil or highly clogging ingredients. And so do your research, educate yourself, and read your labels. So if breakouts are your concern, I mean, every one of us should be concerned about using parabens, because they can potentially disrupt our hormones, and they're more and more research is saying they're not good for us. They're finding a lot of parabens in tumors, especially breast tumors. And so there's really so many other options for preserving products these days. Japanese honeysuckle, radish, like fermented radish. There's a lot of other ingredients that can preserve products that we can definitely find a way to stay away from parabens. There's also a lot of sudsing agents and things that can be used in soaps and shampoos where you don't need sulfates. But when it comes to creams and lotions and conditioners and things that are supposed to make things feel silky and soft and smooth, those are often where I find the pore clogging ingredients. So most of the time companies will put in fragrance and color to make it seem prettier or feel lovelier or smell awesome, so people will want to use it more. Those are more psychological selling tools. They really have no benefit to what the actual purpose of the product is. And if they don't have benefit and they run a risk, I say get rid of them. They don't need to be there. But for the silky smooth and like, ooh, this feels good, and it's so soft, or oh, my hair feels just so nice. And I want you to think about, you know, if you're struggling with breakouts, know that a lot of the ingredients that create slip and glide and smooth and soft and silky can be clogging to your skin. And so just try and avoid them. There are other options. There's plant oils, avocado oils. Not all oils are bad or clogging for the skin. Some are actually really, really good for it. So I just want you to look for those three things if you can. Well, there are three things, because the mineral oil and the paraffin are pretty much the same thing. But look for paraffinum, liquidium, or mineral oil. Look for fragrance, and look for synthetic dyes. And that'll be really helpful as you're trying to help clear up your skin if it's coming from your hair products. Now, I have been, for a very long time, it hasn't been a priority since skin is my main priority and that's my main business, but I have been working with my labs on some hair products. And the reason I've been doing this is because I am always challenged with finding the holy grail perfect hair product. And like I said, there's things that I've used in the past that I liked, but they break me out. And I've had so many clients who everything was going great with their skin, and then they changed their conditioner and their skin just, you know, got all messed up again. And so it's kind of been a little bit of a pet project or a passion project of mine to do hair products, because I got a lot of hair. It's a lot of long hair. It's curly hair, which can be challenging. And like I said, it's always been something that I've researched. I love ingredients. I love kind of formulating. I love messing around and figuring out what will this do if we do this. And I love having clear skin, and I love having my clients have clear skin too. So I've been working on some shampoos and conditioners and a hair mask and a leave-in treatment. Styling products are challenging, and I'll probably get to those one day. I have a lot of my clients testing them out, and so far we're really, really all just loving the way they're turning out. I know the last, probably for the last quarter, every time I've gone in for a trim or a touch-up on my color, we've noticed just so much extra hair growth. Tons and tons and tons of new growth. And it's just been since I've been using the new formulas. And my color is lasting longer, and my hair is shinier and silkier, and a lot less damaged. And a lot of my clients are feeling the same way. So I can't wait for them to be done so I can share them with you. Right now, we've pretty much nailed down the formulas, and they don't have any of these ingredients. And they have a ton of botanical ingredients that feed and nourish your hair and make it just look and feel super luxurious, which is, you know, what we all want typically when it comes to hair. But right now we're just figuring out the consistency. Does the shampoo need to be thicker? Does the conditioner need to be thinner so it'll flow from the bottle better? We've been testing out bottles for ages. Do they come in pots or pumps or squeeze tubes? But we've pretty much narrowed it all down. It's been a lot of trial and error, just like it was for the skincare and the makeup. But it's been a lot of fun. And once we get, you know, a high percentage of the feedback back on the texture and the thickness, what I'm really doing is I'm just using some sodium alginate, which is like a seaweed extract, to thicken up one of the shampoos. That's kind of the last little bit. It was a little thin. Some people liked it. Some people really like a thicker one. So that's what we're doing. And then we're also figuring out exactly which scent to use. So I like lavender. I'm going to start with that. I'll probably expand to multiple scents down the road, but since skin really is my gig and it's my thing, I'm not going to focus too much on having a huge hair care line, but we're focusing on, you know, lavender, and then is it French lavender? Is it English lavender? How much do we use? Do we use it at 1%? Do we use it at 3%? What do people like best? So that's kind of where we are in the phase of getting the hair products going, but I'm super, super excited about them. I can't wait to share more and keep you updated. If you would like to be one of my testers, you can head on over to my website, healthyskinandbeauty.com, and on the contact page, you can reach out and just say, hey, I want to try your, I want to test your products. I have a hair test product, hair, like a little trial hair kit. I think it's like $15 we put it at, just to cover the cost of expenses, because it's quite a few different things, and then the bottles that they come in, and then some guidance with how to use them. So we have that. And then if you are wanting to just be updated on when it's available, or anything that has to do with healthy skin and beauty, you can sign up for my emails. You can also do that through the contact page of my website. Just shoot us a message there and say, hey, I want to be on the email list. Or on the bottom of the website, there's a little pop-up box that asks you if you want free info about how to have healthier, beautiful skin. You can just put your email address in there, and you will be getting a guide very, very soon that has all sorts of really helpful lifestyle hacks and healthy skin and beauty tips that will help you not only look your best, but feel your best, and not have anything to do with buying skincare products or getting skincare treatments. There are a lot of things that you can just do all on your own, and I'm excited to share that with you as well. So thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this, please leave a review on my iTunes station. I would love to hear what you think. I would also love your questions. I love answering questions, and I like to do that here so I can share them with the rest of the world, because I'm sure if you're thinking it, other people are too. And I can't wait to get back here and share more with you soon. Have a great day. Thanks, guys.